San Francisco's gay men's choir sings a song that says that Christians are correct, that if their agenda goes unchecked, they will corrupt your children. And Bethel's new Rediscovered series attempts to answer their critics, only causing more confusion in the process. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we'll be discussing a couple of different stories, one from the pseudo-Christian realm and one from the secular realm and the secular of secular realms. But I wanted to tell you guys a little bit just about what's going on here at Good Fight Ministries, as well as Blessed Hope Chapel. We just got back from Costa Rica about a week ago or so, and we've been trying to plug away and get these shows out to you guys, and hopefully you guys are blessed by them. And we are also working with a number of different churches all over this country and even outside of this country. And I am excited to announce that on July 23rd, I will be leading an online Zoom discipleship class for Blessed Hope Chapel livestream families and those that may want to be involved in Blessed Hope Chapel live streaming and being involved in being a part of a home group or so forth. And so if you have inquiries and so forth, you guys are more than welcome to join us on July 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can email me at chad@goodfight.org. That's chad@goodfight.org. And let me know that you want to attend. And maybe you're just wondering, hey, am I the right person to be attending this? And so forth. And I'll let you know either way. But yeah, email me and we'll get you ready and set for July 23rd to meet with you guys. But nonetheless, we have some important topics to discuss today on 5:11 News. Obviously, one that I would say was quite disturbing from the onset as soon as I watched the video, as soon as I heard the lyrics. And our goal here was to play the video for you guys to hear. But when I was doing my research, seeing what other people were saying, maybe some background and so forth on the song that took place, I noticed that on a lot of the articles, the videos were removed because of copyright claims from the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. And the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir recently came out in honor of Pride Month and made a song and posted the video on YouTube, which has since been not taken down, but put as private. So you wonder when it will be put as unprivate. But nonetheless, apparently, as some reported, it was because of the many, many dislikes that were on the video. But we wanted to show that on the show, but we're just going to show some images of the video so you can see them. And I'm going to read from the lyrics because we don't want this video taken down. We want to make sure that people hear the truth. We want to make sure that when we warn of something, it's not simply because we hate someone. We want to make sure that people recognize that we hate sinful behavior that would keep people from the kingdom of God. And when you have things where people are bragging about any sin and have pride in any sin, if people brag about being prideful at all, right? That is a heinous, heinous thing that will keep them from the kingdom of God. And the Bible says quite clearly that it is sin that separates us from our God. And the Bible is really clear that the practice of sin, according to 1 John chapter 3, proves whether or not a person is a child of God or a child of the devil. And anybody that is not only acquiescing, but encouraging people in their sin. As I just drove here this morning, I was thinking about this because I was driving by a Lutheran church, and the word ecclesia, as we usually call it, we say church, ecclesia, is typically used as a terminology of the called out ones in its etymology. But sometimes the word is even used in the book of Acts about an assembly or a building of a place where pagans actually met in the book of Acts. But nonetheless, this building is not a church that would be one with people who love Jesus in it. And I know that because they have a rainbow flag flying out in front of it, which is really an acid test to orthodoxy in the sense of whether or not you know someone cares for those and truly loves those who are involved in the homosexual community or the queer community or so forth, the LGBTQ and whatever other letters community, saying that you support them in their sin is so wicked, in all honesty. You're doing, as I think Leonard Ravenhill put it, giving them a pill to help them get to hell quicker. It puts them to sleep. And that's exactly what is taking place. This isn't love. People think that it is love to acquiesce sin, and it is simply not. It's not loving to do that. When I was in sin, when I was a reprobate, when I was a drunken, fornicating, fighter, brawler, absolute loser, dead in my sin and trespasses, somebody not calling me out from my sin in a loving way was never going to bring me to Christ. If somebody sat there and just said, you know, Jesus is going to be the cherry on top of your life, I grew up with nominal Christianity. I grew up with Christianity that was by name only, with no true victory in Christ when it comes to your sin, not recognizing this sin separates us from God, not recognizing the fact that this sin is a detriment to us individually, not only for those outside of us who are affected by our own personal sin and our behavior and habits, but also the fact that individually that sin was eroding and killing me from the inside out. And this is quite clearly why the gospel, and Jesus was quite clear in Matthew 11, that those who come to him, his yoke is easy, his burden is light, that his commandments are not burdensome, as it says in 1 John chapter 5, a book detailing the difference between a child of God and the child from the devil, a book detailing that they saw, touched, heard, felt Jesus in his presence and said, this is the message that we heard from him, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If there is anybody who practices darkness and yet says they know him, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. And guess what? Also, if somebody says they have no sin, and then when you start dictating what sin is, and now a loving homosexual relationship is no longer sin, what you've done is you have made them a liar. And the truth is not in that person, it's not in you. And you are deceived yourself and you are deceiving others. It is one of the saddest things to me to think of false prophets standing up there lying to people. Could you imagine if these false teachers would lie to people, say that they are loving while accepting the adulterer, while accepting anyone, you know, just come in as you just completely, you stay in your fornication and your drunkenness and let this happen. Guys, this is exactly why Matthew 18 has to be done in a loving manner, because what happens is in those adulterous relationships, we want them to repent. We want them to turn from that sin in the same way that we want the homosexual to turn from that sin and turn to Christ, have a change of heart, a change of heart that leads to a change of action, a change of heart and mind that leads to a change of action and the fruit that is born that is in keeping with repentance. That's what takes place. And any other gospel message is not a true gospel message from the Word of God. Because when it comes to sin, we not only have a Jesus that died for us in our place to tetelestai, pay in full our sin, but he also sent the Holy Spirit into us that it helps us to know what to pray, for we cannot even utter the words, right? But the Holy Spirit prays through us, and also that we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ, who loves us. We become conquerors over that sin that we were so easily entangled by, and we now start laying it aside as we grow in the process of sanctification. And what happens is, and hopefully I think we're going to be having soon on the Good Fight Radio show, an ex-homosexual share his testimony. And I have come to know many beautiful, wonderful ex-homosexuals who've come to know Christ and seeing them just absolutely love the Lord and see the Lord completely change them from death to life, and recognize that there's victory there. There is no victory in the practice of any sin. And the fact is that we as believers need to call out all sin. And that's not just, you know, pointing to homosexuality, but recognizing that as soon as a church decides that that is what they are okay with in their acceptance, and whether that's homosexuality, fornication, adultery running rampant in the church, stealing, lying, thieving, whatever it may be, when a church wears the flag out front to say, hey, we want all thieves coming here. Well, we'll see how long that lasts. But we want all the fornicators. You come here and don't stop your fornication. It's one thing to say we love people and we want people to come to Christ and so forth. But it is another thing to say we love you so much, we're going to keep you in your sin, because that's not really love at all. That's loving with hypocrisy. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 is very clear, to love without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cling to that which is good. And there's nothing more evil than that which would keep people from the kingdom of God. So we don't want that. And so when we talk about this, I know that's a long caveat, but something that really, really bothers me, and I wasn't planning on talking about this on the show, but there is this very strange, I would say almost like a Luther pre-conversion self-flagellation of so many people that call themselves in the church, where they just talk about how terrible everything is in the church all the time. And they honestly make up a lot of caricatures that I don't believe typically exist. And the fact is that if this was existing in your church, I think you should stop the self-flagellation, but man up and say something to the person, right? Because I'm going to just tell you honestly, it's different maybe talking with some young people and so forth when we talk about these things, you know, sexual purity and whatnot. And people may say snarky remarks and jokes and stuff, and you can correct that. But so often I hear people talk about, oh, you know, in the church, everyone, they hate homosexuals and so forth, and it's this, that, and the other. And it's this weird caricature that I'm like, this person you're talking about, I've never met. And if I did meet them, I would rebuke them to their face, as Paul did Peter, okay? Because that is what needs to be done. And if you have people around you that all they do is mock and joke and so forth, and you just allow that in your life without correcting it, I think that you're the problem. And the self-flagellation of beating the back, and it's not even you. That's what's even more sad. You tell people, and I've heard it even in songs on Christian radio, how, you know, hey, the church is supposed to be a place for the sick, but it's not really that. Well, what church do you go to, bud? I want to know. Because when you're making all these statements and saying these things, it's really nice to make blanket statements, but I think the only loving thing is to call out people individually where these things are taking place. Because if you do not, you then broad brush everybody as if everybody acts this way. And the fact is if people that you know do act that way and you do nothing to quell it, you do nothing to stop it, you don't use the word of God for what the word of God says is supposed to be used for in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for reproof, rebuke, the training in righteousness, then guess what? You're the coward. Stop singing songs about it. Stop telling everyone how this is how the church is, and actually do something. Because it's a big problem for me that everyone talks about all the bad things that happen, but they don't actually call out the person individually that's doing it. And I have to tell you, we at Good Fight Ministries, this is why we name names. This is why we give caveats on people we have disagreements with. Because the fact is that it is not loving to broad brush every single person as if they act this way. Yes, it's a fact that people like Joel Osteen, and there are plenty of churches that are not true churches, and he is not a true shepherd and so forth. But guess what? In every single state, in every single country, every single city I have ever been in, I have found absolutely blood-bought believers who love Jesus. Every single place I've been in. And the conversation we are having right now about homosexuality in a mature manner is the same conversation I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ all over the country, all over the state, all over the world, every single place I've ever gone. So that is why I do believe that naming names and showing specifically problems that are going on in the church, and those who are not even in the church but are pseudo-Christians, are important to name specifically. because we do not want to simply broad brush. It is very, very important because there are a bunch of people that absolutely love Jesus in this world, and God has always kept a remnant. That leads me right in to finally what I want to talk about. And the fact is this gay men's choir in San Francisco came out with a song, and obviously it's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek, but I do believe the Bible's really clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says that the prince of the power of the air, Satan, works through the sons of disobedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, is very clear that believers are the temple of God, that non-believers are the temple of idols or demons, as Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 10. We have to recognize that and see that and not look at something in a situation and think that there's no, that this is spiritually benign when something is so absolutely clearly abhorrent to the things of God. And something we've warned about over and over, something that Good Fight Ministries, long before I was ever even saved, was warning about over and over and over again, was not only the homosexual agenda, because that is a reality, but the fact that Satan as well always goes after children. And I've always noticed this with pastors as well. When it comes to pastors, if Satan can't get to them, they go after their wife. And if they can't get to their wife, he goes after their children. And this is a fact. Satan always goes after the children to corrupt. I believe this is why pedophiles exist on this planet. And this is what happens. And they go unchecked. And I'm using this language for a reason, because this is the language that was used in the gay men's choir to celebrate Pride Month. And I'm going to read straight from them. And like I said, I wanted to play the video, but I do not want this video taken down because I believe this conversation is important. And here's what it says. As we celebrate Pride, speaking of Pride Month, and progress we've made on the progress we've made over the past years, there's still work to be done. So to those of you out there who are still working against our equal rights, we have a message for you. Quote from the song, "You think we're sinful. You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect, but you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct." As I said, at Good Fight Ministries, we've been saying this for a number of years. You can see article after article on Good Fight Ministries, whether it's not X-Men and the gay agenda, whether it's not talking about specifically the gay marriage movement here that was happening back in 2008, some of the fires that happened at the same time and so forth, the gay agenda that happened, even the admittedly gay agenda that happened when it came to Pirates of the Caribbean with Disney. And now that it's just so full and frontal and in our face, it's so clear. And the fact is they are going after your children. They're going after them. You think, oh, maybe my kid is homeschooled and so we're fine. But the problem is they have Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat, and guess what? They are being inundated over and over and over again. And, you know, I recently had he is the head of the philosophy department at the local college here, and he was over at my house, and we were talking specifically about materialism and idealism and philosophy. And he was saying it's very interesting the effect that TikTok has had on so many people becoming Marxist. And this is just a reality now. And he said he always knew who was paying attention in their class, because when they got to the question of, are you materialist or idealist? So many people would think that materialism had to do with money and what they bought and brought up, you know, Christmas and so forth. And he said, no, you know, these are philosophical camps and so forth. But nonetheless, but he said, you have no idea how many have come out as Marxists more recently, over and over again. And with TikTok, you have no idea how many questions come in. My daughter, my son just saw this on TikTok. They're wondering, is the word homosexual not in the Bible, right? We did an entire episode on that. So many different things that people have sent us, you know, regarding scripture, that this has been just like this advent of social media, nonstop in the face. Just go try to get a cup of coffee and see who will have a conversation with you. And I'm not just talking about the kids. Move all the way up. They're all on their phones and they're all attached to it, and it's become a prison. They're enslaved to it, and they're enslaved to the serotonin and endorphins, and how the mind reacts to them looking at likes and so forth. And what has happened is it used to just be, hey, maybe you can homeschool your kids and you'll keep them from all these landmines. But now guess what? It's right there on social media. It's on their YouTube channel. All their favorite artists and so forth are all pushing this. And he's exactly right. They have their agenda and it's going unchecked. I tell you, one of the most dangerous things, and we post these things on social media because even though Satan has a lot of minions running things on social media, we are going to get these messages out as much as we possibly can until somebody literally says, sorry, we're stopping you. You can't do it anymore, because we know the enemy is fighting so hard for this avenue that we're going to fight as well to make sure people hear the truth. And so please, this is where I'm asking you, share these things, share these truths so that people could come out of this. Remember that the first to plead his case seems right until someone comes over and examines him. And the fact is that for so many kids, over and over and over again, inundated. What did football just come out and say? Football is gay. That's their new campaign. And the first player who actually makes a team, Carl Nassib, comes out and says he's a homosexual, and everyone celebrates it, and they put on their rainbow flags for a month and so forth. Guys, this is not an accident. It is an agenda. Homosexuality is just one sin that Satan is specifically using to separate him, to separate God from them. And it breaks my heart. And here, I want to point out some of the things. I'm going to read the rest of the song, but I also want to show that this has been an agenda over and over again. I'm not even going to go into the 60s. I'm going to go a little earlier, and then I'm going to go to the 90s. But I want to read the rest of the song. It says, "We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. You can keep them from disco, warn about San Francisco, make them wear pleated pants. We don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair." It sounds really tolerant as it sounds really tolerant and fair. But I wanted to point this out. This is not something that hasn't happened for quite a long time. All right, obviously. And I believe this is why Proverbs, specifically, when you go right to Proverbs chapter 1, the guidance for children over and over again, the guidance on how to lead children that the Bible has is one of the warnings about children. One of the warnings about children to make sure that they follow their parents and that their parents watch over them and care for them. And this is from Aleister Crowley, the father of modern Satanism. And he has had more of an effect on culture than about just any human being, because he was used by Satan, because he opened himself up to the demonic realm and allowed himself to be used and abused by Satan. And in his book, The World Tragedy, he pointed out that he was directly targeting the youth. He said this, "Let me seduce the boys of England, and the oldsters may totter unconverted to their grave." Notice the unconverted language, the converted language used also by the song by the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. He said, "Then these boys," this young army he's putting together, "these boys become men, may bring about the new heaven and new earth. But without an army, I am useless. Give me my army, young men, and we will sweep these old dogs into the sea." Guys, Satan has been after your children. Please, I'm telling you right now, if you have kids, I don't care their age, make sure you know what's going on in their phone. Make sure you know what's going on in their journals. I just talked to a young lady last night that said she was suicidal and she had kept it from her family. And she was telling her testimony in front of her parents. It was so beautiful. I was like sitting there, just, it was such, so incredible. And she hadn't told anybody really. And she didn't want people to know, but she had written it down in her journal. And her mom went and looked at that journal. And I do believe it saved her life. And she ended up giving her life to Christ not long after that. Guys, pay attention to what's going on with your children. Pay attention to who's influencing them. Also, in his book, Magic with Tears, Crowley declared that the family is public enemy number one. And the goal of Satan, Aleister Crowley, was to go after the youth and to break up the family. And this is exactly what he does. And Madonna, in The Advocate, an interview she did back in 1991, they were talking about this stuff all back then. And this is what she said. She was asked the question, "What do teenage kids from middle America think when they see a man dancing, men dancing together and wearing bras? Are they digesting these sophisticated images?" And she says, "They digest it in a lot of different ways. Some people will see it and be disgusted by it, but maybe they'll be unconsciously aroused by it. Maybe they'll be unconsciously challenged by the idea of men in women's lingerie. Then there are people who see it and are amused by it, see the irony of it, see things that maybe frightened them before, and know that it's not something to be frightened of. If people keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it, eventually, it's not going to be such a strange thing. I think of the TV show Ellen, where she was a comedian and then came out as a homosexual. That's before her talk show for you younger crowd. I think of shows like Will and Grace that, you know, you had the very extremely homosexual, you know, very, you know, flamboyant character. And then you had the good looking character that was friends with Will, or Will that was friends with Grace. And now the Modern Family, right? So often these things, you keep seeing it. Sadly, these words prove to be prophetic. And now videos can go online where they warn you that they're coming after your children. And people say, no, they're just kidding. It's just in jest. Guys, it's not in jest. And I pray for these guys. I hope they repent and find out that, guess what? This is never going to fulfill. They have broken cisterns that can't hold water, and they could trade them for streams of living water that Christ offers them. And I wanted to bring up, right, I know we're coming to the end here. I got off on some tangent, so I won't be able to go in depth, but you know what I think this will turn into is I'm going to be doing a show with Joe covering the new Rediscover series by Bethel. Bethel is trying to give an answer for so many of the things that people have called out on them. So many different ministries have called them out. There has been a number of things done by Mike Winger on the Passion Translation, obviously the Chris Roseboroughs of the world, and then ourselves, our Bethel series. And we'll put a link in the description covering the Bethel series. And remember, one of the things that we always do when it comes to calling someone out is we use their own words. We play their own audio. And so when people come up and say, well, that's not this and not that, well, sorry, guys, we played you saying it. We played you doing it. But I think there's a lot of tacit admissions when it comes to some of the things that would say. And one of the episodes we're going to be definitely dealing with is the New Apostolic Reformation and Seven Mountain Mandate portion, where I don't want to give away too much because I was going to talk about it, but I'm going to do this with Joe alongside of him, where we talk about their new Rediscover series, where they're trying to give answers. And in all honesty, it's only caused more confusion, even for me who knows their doctrines. And they admit, specifically, the people that we said they were getting these doctrines from, they admit that's who they got it from. And they play the red herring game, and they avoid and distract, and they become quite confusing in the process and admit a lot of the things that we had said. So I'm really excited to kind of deal with that alongside Pastor Joe very soon. But I want to thank you guys so much for joining me on 511 News. And I just encourage you guys, please share this. Make sure that no one goes without hearing this, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who may fall for those things of, you know, calling out people without actually calling out anyone specifically. Because I don't think that's very loving at all. And it broad brushes some great brothers and sisters in Christ who do truly love him and doesn't get to the root problem that we want to get to. So I want to thank you so much for joining myself, Tony, and Josh, and everyone here at the Good Fight Radio Show at 511 News. God bless you guys.
The 511 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.